Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh, yeah, we're on this afternoon, and we are off and running very, very quickly because there has been interesting developments in and around the St. Louis area today. We start, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, with the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, is with me because he has scored an early victory in the lawsuit against St. Louis County. How are you, Mr. Attorney General? This has been a good day, hasn't it?
I'm doing great, Mark. Good day, indeed, for the people of St. Louis County.
So tell me what happened, and this is a temporary restraining order, right?
It is, but it's very important because the judge, there's any indication based on how the judge wrote it, there's a permanent injunction on the 17th, and we're pretty confident that the injunction will remain in place. But essentially, Sam Page and Tashar Hudgens instituted mask mandates, didn't consult, evidently, with their legislative bodies. And we filed a lawsuit that very same day, last Monday, saying, look, you don't get to do this. It's arbitrary and capricious. The county council, in a bipartisan vote, rejected with a supermajority, 5-2, the mask mandate in St. Louis County, which, of course, is a million people, the largest county in the state. But Sam Page continued to insist that the mask mandate was in effect. We, of course, said it wasn't because he was, you know, no longer the mask mandate was had been struck down essentially by the council. We then sought a temporary restraining order, basically saying, hey, let's make this clear that the mask mandate's not in effect. Then last Friday, right before the hearing in St. Louis County, they tried to remove it to federal court as a delay tactic. The federal judge kicked it back, saying this is squarely a state issue. And today we had our hearing this morning, and the judge ruled in our favor. So there is no mask mandate in St. Louis County. That's clear now. It's a very decisive victory to halt the mandate.
One part I think that people are confused about, I want you to be clear. This only affects St. Louis County and not St. Louis City. Why is there a difference there?
Well, because think of it this way. There's two different buckets that strike these kinds of mandates down. One is the new state law that went into effect being in response to the sort of dictatorial attitude by Sam Page and other sort of many tyrants in the St. Louis area that are just making this stuff as they go along.
I think we're losing him here on a bad cell
signal. Perpetuity. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's kind of dipping in and out, unfortunately. You must be
I apologize.
Somewhere.
No, so right. I'm on my way to Joplin, so I apologize.
That sounds a little better right now, though. Go ahead.
Okay. But basically, the state legislature came in and said, you can't have these in effect forever. The county council or the county commission can say, we don't want to extend this or we don't want to do this. That's exactly what the council did, but they did that in St. Louis County. So St. Louis City, they haven't done that yet. We'll see how that plays out. That's one bucket. The second bucket is these are arbitrary and capricious. Essentially, the CDC had said you don't need a mask if you're vaccinated. Now they said, you know, it's recommended you have a mask. Kids, we know, are very low risk for contracting COVID or getting seriously ill. Yet they want to mask up kids all day long, even though the psychological and emotional consequences are severe. There's more studies about that. So there's two different ways to attack these, which we're pursuing both. But today we won because the council said this. We're rejecting the county executive's mask mandate, but he refused to acknowledge that. So we had to go into court and say, basically, that there is no mask mandate. So we want to be clear. There is no mask mandate in St. Louis County. It's a big victory for the people.
What happens next, though?
So on August 17th, there'll be another sort of hearing about this. This was a temporary restraining order. We'll go in. But essentially, the judge ruled that it's likely that we would prevail on August 17th. So she's going to institute the temporary restraining order. So we feel pretty confident going into the 17th that we'll ride this thing out and there will be no mask mandate in St. Louis County. Now, in St. Louis City, we're going to continue to fight that fight in St. Louis City. By the way, we just filed a lawsuit in Kansas City to block their mask mandate. They followed suit, too. These progressive cities want to control and continue to control people's lives. Science be damned. So that's what's next. So right now it's important to know there's no mask mandate in St. Louis County. There'll be another hearing in a couple of weeks. We expect that to continue. And we'll continue to fight the fight in the city of St. Louis and in Kansas City.
Look, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on the radio, but this one was pretty easy to decipher, and I think the judge even made that clear this morning. She said, I'm not going to, you know, act on emotions or anything else. This is going to be based on the law, and the law is pretty clear here.
It is, and which, again, was why it was really bizarre that the county executive was going around this weekend saying that the mask mandate is still in effect. It led to a lot of confusion. It wasn't in effect, and the judge made that clear today. And so, again, I am always going to fight for the people and for freedom, and today was a very, very decisive victory for the people and for freedom.
Eric Schmidt, Attorney General, I appreciate your time. I'm going to get Chief Fitch to kind of respond here this afternoon, and enjoy your trip to Joplin. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. So that is that's a big victory. And let's talk with St. Louis County, former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, my councilman in St. Louis County. He's been spearheading a lot of this. I mean, we talked about this last week, Chief. The law is very clear. This wasn't too hard for the judge, probably, right?
That would be my guess. And I wanted to congratulate and thank the Attorney General for his work on this. Without him doing the work that he did to challenge this, we would still be left with Sam Page saying there's a mask mandate in St. Louis County. We felt pretty strongly on the council, the members that voted to terminate this, that we were right. And, you know, the last time we challenged Sam Page in court was over the chair-vice-chair fight. We knew we were right then and won that. So the council's really 2-0 against Sam Page when it comes to court. And that's what you have to do with Sam Page. You can't just let him run a roughshod over you. You have to challenge him and take him to court. And we've won both the times that we've done it.
Yeah, I think what I texted you last week and I said, let me see if I get this straight. They're basically taking the same approach that they did with the leadership vote in January. They said it's a valid election. It wasn't. You knew it wasn't. The other members of the council knew, but they forced you to go to court. Who's paying for these lawsuits, by the way?
Well, as Elliot Davis would say, you paid for it.
Yeah.
So you pay for both sides of this argument, by the way.
Well, because you mean the taxpayers pay the state and the taxpayers
right.
pay the county. That's right.
Right. And in January, the taxpayers paid the county to fight it, the county to defend it.
So moving forward, let's say that this holds next week. There were some people that indicated, even in some of the calls that I took, and I think you had this sentiment, maybe even some folks that testified before the council last week. They said, look, maybe we would be willing to listen to an order about a mask mandate, but not if it's coming from the king of St. Louis County. If there's evidence, if there's data, and if the council agrees on that, there's still the possibility that the council could move forward with some sort of mandate in the future, right?
That's true, but we've never even had a chance to talk about it because he has gone around us every time, and we heard Faisal Khan testify on Tuesday that he was specifically told by the county executive not to share any of the information with the council. He admitted that, and that's what we've been dealing with for the last year and a half on this is he wants sole control over people's lives in St. Louis County, and that's not what they elected us to do on the council.
Did you happen to see, I mean, I was stunned by this myself. I had to look several times, and I'm looking at it right now. Did you see the headline on the local paper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, this morning?
I did not, above because the I fold? Get the electronic.
Yeah,
I get the
well, above the fold. Well, you may have seen this story. This is above the fold. I'm shocked by this, and maybe the reporter's going to get fired, or both of them. Khan's claims undercut by video. Even the Post was forced to really, you know, expose Mr. Khan's lies on this stuff. And you know
right,
it's bad when
that,
the Post
yeah.
gets involved and exposes it.
Well, and I'll have to tell you, most of the reporters I know in St. Louis, they at least listen to both sides. And in this particular case, they had no choice but to go, there's something wrong here. Clearly, this is not right. The only person to this moment that we're talking that said any of this happened is Faisal Khan. We're still at that point right now.
But and he's the one who got the national media coverage, lying on CNN.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
I got thousands of emails from around the country about that. Very few locally that were nasty, but everybody that watches CNN and MSNBC had something to say about it.
I'm sure. All right. Tim Fitch, St. Louis County Council, former chief of police. My councilman, thank you for the update. This was good news this afternoon.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mark.
Keep me posted. There's a lot going on, so I have to get to Andy Cuomo this afternoon as we get started. Well, a very defiant Andy Cuomo, the governor of New York. He's not going anywhere. I don't expect that he's going to resign, because he's indicating that he won't resign. He is going to fight these charges. I'll get to some of the details in a minute, but here's the governor of New York.
I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances.
Well, the Attorney General of New York State, Letitia James, disagrees.
The independent investigation has concluded that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, and in doing so violated federal and state law. Specifically, the investigation found that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed current and former New York State employees by engaging in unwelcome and non-consensual touching and making numerous offensive comments of a suggestive and sexual nature that created a hostile work environment for women.
So this is very repetitive behavior that is exposed in this report, and it'll be interesting to see. So Jen Psaki was asked this question. There was a delayed press appearance in the media, the White House press briefing room today, and one of the first questions, of course, was on this. And Jen Psaki said, well, the president's going to have something to say himself.
Well, the president just said that he is going to speak to this later this afternoon and share his views. So I'm not going to get ahead of his comments he'll make later.
Have there been any conversations today between the governor's office and anyone here at the White House?
No, there have not.
And why the delay? Why not have did the president watch the governor's video earlier?
Again, the president will give his own reaction to, of course, the announcement this morning and give his own view later this afternoon.
Yeah, so Cuomo puts this video together, and it's produced, and it's slick, and it should. Dave, did you see that thing?
It was creepy.
It was really creepy.
You guys tell me about it.
So what? He talks about...
He made it look worse.
He did make it look worse because, well, he's talking about how he's just a hugger and a kisser, and he embraces people, whether they're, you know, white, black, gay, no matter what. He seemingly discounts all of what the victims are. Well, he doesn't acknowledge that at all. He says, for example, here's one right here.
I do kiss people on the forehead. I do kiss people on the cheek. I do kiss people on the hand. I do embrace people. I do hug people. Men and women.
Okay, but Annie Clark, who investigated all this, says went a little further than that.
The most serious was the governor's unwelcome physical contact with women, including touching intimate body parts. He engaged in this conduct with state employees, including those who didn't work in the executive chamber, as well as non-employees. One current employee, who we identify as executive assistant number one, endured repeated physical violations. On November 16th, 2020, in the executive mansion, the governor hugged executive assistant number one and reached under her blouse to grab her breast. This was the culmination of a pattern of inappropriate sexual conduct, including numerous close and intimate hugs where the governor held her so closely that her breasts were pressed against his body, and he sometimes ran his hands up and down her back while he did so. There were also several occasions on which the governor grabbed her butt.
So, look, for like 5 seconds, there was a report. That's actually a long time. But
this is pretty detailed.
Yeah.
It's a pattern. It's not just isolated. I mean, there's about 10 million times more stuff in this report, in this announcement from the attorney general and the special investigator in New York State than there ever was on Brett Kavanaugh. Here's some more from this is Annie Clark, the investigator.
The governor also several times inappropriately touched a state trooper assigned to the unit to protect the governor. In an elevator, while standing behind the trooper, he ran his finger from her neck down her spine and said, "Hey, you." Another time, she was standing holding the door open for the governor. As he passed, he took his open hand and ran it across her stomach from her belly button to where the hip where she keeps her gun.
Oh.
She told us that she felt completely violated to have the governor touch her, as she put it, between her chest and her privates.
Look, like
How
I said,
does he think this is okay?
And he's acting like nothing is happening, and he's actually blaming the victims.
Oh, my God.
It's stunning. You know, not unlike, I think it's interesting the dynamic in the last, really maybe longer than the last couple of weeks. But, you know, we had Jane on the roundtable last week with all this stuff with the mask mandate. You would have thought, I told someone this today, I said, you would have thought she was on my side of politics. If you would hear the Democrats in New York right now, because there are a lot of Democrats that are calling for his resignation, for his impeachment. But I don't know if it'll actually come to that. Chuck Schumer was asked about this today. He was very, very, he didn't say a whole lot. But what will Biden say? Because here's what he said on Good Morning America on March 17th. I don't think the president can ignore the details in this report and give him a pass in any way, shape, or form. The governor of New York is looking for due process. He made that clear. He wants this stuff to be proven. Now, I do think that you have situations, let's use our former governor here in Missouri, where allegations come forward. You say, I didn't do this. I'm going to fight the allegations. In Eric Greitens, you know, position, he did say, look, I had the affair, I'm going to fight it. But what it came down to with Eric is it was math, I think. So here's how much it's going to take to fight these charges.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to be bankrupt, right?
Well, it's very difficult. If I'm in an elevator with and we're the only two people in there and the governor is touching me on my stomach,
it is
difficult.
He said, she said.
Yes.
But here's what the president said on March 17th.
If the investigation confirms the claims of the women, should he resign?
Yes, I think he'd probably end up being prosecuted, too.
And that's one of the interesting questions today, whether or not there is going to be any prosecution. That's a possibility as well. Interesting stuff. Let's not forget that this was a guy held up to the highest level in March, April last year. He was doing those daily briefings, sort of juxtaposed with Dr. Fauci and the rest of the pandemic task force, and he was hailed as this great leader. They even talked about him maybe stepping in for Biden as the presidential nominee when Uncle Joe was struggling just a little bit. So we'll see where that story goes. Dave has this one logged into the computer as not sure of the name of the song. But we'll go out with it nonetheless. And we're back with much more. Congresswoman Ann Wagner next on 97.1 FM Talk. To be in the shade. I think it's kind of an interesting story of policing out of my former city. I spent about 10 years in Milwaukee. Dan O'Donnell's going to join us in the next segment. Little suburb called Caledonia, and it went viral. It was a complete lie when you hear the details of this. So Dan's coming up. We have Sue's News after 4 o'clock. Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner, the 2nd District, announced today she's not going to run for the Senate seat that Roy Blunt is giving up. That news came in earlier today. Ann joins me right now on 97.1 FM Talk. Congresswoman Wagner, how are you?
I am terrific. Terrific and full steam ahead to make sure that we hang on to Missouri's 2nd Congressional District, the district that I love so much and is so near and dear to my heart, and more importantly, to take back the United States House of Representatives.
Well, so
that
look,
is my calling.
Yeah, not that you care about my opinion, but we know each other pretty well. I think it was a good decision, not because I didn't want you to become a Senate candidate or to become the next U.S. Senator, but I do think that you're in a great place and you're going to be back in the majority next year. It's going to be
a celebration. We are. And that's so much a part of the calculation here. I want to be a part of bringing us back in to the majority and taking back the House. It is absolutely within our grasp. The Democrats, I've watched this and been a part of this and seen this up close and personal. What Nancy Pelosi and the Biden administration have done the last 6 months is just unconscionable. And it is an attack on the fabric of our society and who we are as conservatives and as common sense conservatives here in Missouri City, too. And, I do believe that being a part of taking back the majority will give me opportunities to serve in the House in even bigger and better ways and that will, I think, advance the interests of the 2nd District here in the greater St. Louis region, which is home. It's personal. I've always said it. You know, you've heard me say this is a calling, not a job. And believe me, the call has never been greater.
Well, it was going to be a crowded field. If you get in, it's still going to be a crowded field. But look, you had to have a lot of pressure. I know you were strongly considering this. I think maybe Ray might have wanted you to go for this as well. So what all played into the decision just personally? Because I know you were struggling with it.
Well, it's been the last 6 months, and knowing how, frankly, tough this seat is. We had a tough reelection last two cycles. This is a must-hold seat if we're going to be in the majority, and I'm committed. I love the people of this district, and I hate seeing what's happening to our country. I mean, we've got inflation. It hasn't been this high since 1991. That's three decades. The spending of trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars that just make people dependent upon the government, not dependent on themselves or their families. They're working for the government. There's a complete reordering of who we are as America. And I think they're ruining the American dream. And you can talk about what's happening at the border and that crisis that is of both national security and humanitarian, making every state, as I've said over and over again, a border state. Look at how they've caved to the communist Chinese regime. And when I think they should pay for their reckless release of this COVID-19, it's the spending, it's the disrespect and the defunding of our, not just our law enforcement and first responders, but also of our Defense Department and those that are fighting for our freedoms and our liberties. I'm tired of this being attacked on a continual basis.
Well, you've been in politics for a long time, but you know, you can feel, because I can feel it, and I don't even know anything about anything, but there is this undercurrent out there that is very powerful right now when it comes to a lot of these issues, whether it's critical race theory, some of the stuff with, you know, the confusion over COVID, many things, getting kids back into school, and parents are angry. So I feel like you take, strip the R and the D out of it, there are people that are just pissed right now, and fortunately for the Republicans, they're pissed at a lot of the Democrats because they're taking the path that they're really not crazy about. And I'm talking about more of the moderate voters, obviously not the progressives.
Right. Well, I mean, the government overreach and control of our very lives, it's in our schools, as you mentioned, with this 1619 project and critical race theory. You've got government mandates of masks again coming in everywhere. We want everyone to be safe, you know, get vaccinated in consultation with your doctor. But, you know, the government overreach, it's in our schools, it's in our places of worship, it's in our very homes, and it jeopardizes our liberty and our freedom. And it's on overdrive, and we must put a stop to it. I think people are fed up with this, and I'm going to be a part of the solution here and make sure that we take back the House in 2022 and secure Missouri's 2nd Congressional District. So I hope with the support of those that have been with me the last 9 years and beyond, that we're going to be able to do that. And it's an honor, a privilege, and an absolute necessity in the current environment.
Expand a little bit on your position right now on where we are in the country, in the state when it comes to COVID. Because, again, I think a lot of people don't trust some of the information that is given to them. They don't trust what the CDC is saying. They're still confused about why the FDA hasn't approved the vaccine. Like you, I'm encouraging people to get vaccinated. But I also hear a lot of resistance out there, Ann.
There is. And they should be doing this in consultation with their doctor. Politicians and the government should not be in the equation. And frankly, I blame first and foremost Kamala Harris, who she politicized this vaccination issue during the campaign. You remember when she said in one of the debates that if this vaccine was from Trump, we shouldn't take it. Well, thank God that President Trump initiated
warp speed.
Warp speed and got these vaccinations out there. Thank God for that. And this is not a political issue. And in terms of the masks, you know, we were told if we were vaccinated, there was no mask. Then we were told that we should, and we're wearing them. We don't know why exactly. The government mandates just don't work. And I think a lot of these things are going to be litigated. I'm worried about our kids going back to school. They need to go back to school in person. And it's up to the parent to decide whether they want them to wear a mask or not wear a mask. I think they learn better when they're unmasked. I think we've learned that the rate is very, very low of children who would catch COVID. And nobody wants this, right? And we've all followed the rules, but it's time that we you know, take our lives back, open up our businesses, let our kids go to school, and live our lives in liberty and freedom.
Absolutely.
I've had it.
I think a lot of people have had it. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, one final question as you get into the fall here in Congress. I had Senator Blunt on yesterday talking about infrastructure. Where do you think that heads? And is there some sort of bipartisan agreement that's even feasible with what Nancy Pelosi has pulled with that bill in your chamber?
No. I mean, categorically, no. It's absolutely a ridiculous folly, because both President Biden and Nancy Pelosi have said that both of these packages, which are the you know, roads and bridges, things that we would be for, but this quote infrastructure package has got to move in tandem and be coupled with a $3.5 trillion socialist wish list that includes everything from higher taxes to tons of Green New Deal, more spending, more inflation, increased government dependence. I mean, you name it. It's those two cannot be separated in the U.S. House of Representatives. They have to be brought forward at the same time, in the same place, in the same way in the House. Therefore, they are connected, and you can't get one without the other. And I'm not going to spend another let Bernie Sanders and the squad spend another $3.5 trillion on their socialist wish list and do it under the guise of roads and bridges, because that's not what it is. So I think it's DOA. I frankly will be surprised if they are able to even get it moved in the Senate.
So does that speak to, it's not going to come back. If it dies this fall, there's no chance next year in an election year, is it?
No, because right now Nancy Pelosi has a 3-vote margin. And now, granted, she has extended proxy voting, and at any one given vote, she's got at least 70 of her members that are voting proxy. So she holds those in her hand, but it's getting tougher and tougher for her to do anything. This president has signed less pieces of legislation into law than any president in the history of the presidency. And so nothing is getting done because most of what they're putting forward are bad ideas that, again, are moving us away from who we are as Americans. And they're all about government dependence, all about working for the government, not for yourself and your families. And this incredible overreach into your homes, your personal life, your business life, into your schools, everything you hold dear. And I'm gonna hold the line on this and fight back as hard as I can and make sure we defend Missouri's 2nd Congressional District and take back the House.
Awesome. That's well, look, I thought I was going to have to get into the 2nd District race if you were going to go for the Senate. So good thing I'm going to sit on the sidelines and just watch it all unfurl. Ann Wagner, thanks for coming on, and congratulations on the decision, just because I think it's the right one for this moment. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it. Take care. Bye, Mark.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, I do think it was the right decision. Look, just on the heels of that announcement, you're going to have, it's not a big secret, Billy Long. And a lot of people, I think, in the St. Louis area don't know much about Congressman Long from the southeast part of the state. And he is a character. He really is a character. He gets in this race, he's going to resonate with a lot of folks in Missouri. He's funny. Uh-huh. He's not afraid to say what he thinks.
That's nice.
And he will provide an immense amount of sound bites during this Senate race for the Mark Reardon show. I'm confident in that. But the other thing, I really do think this plays into it with Ann, and I think she admitted it. Look, it's not fun going back into a situation, and I've been told by several members of Congress this, even Sarah McCaskill years ago, when she went into the minority, that's not fun being in the minority. So if it looks like the minority is going to be where you're going to be for a long time, there's going to be less incentive. But I think they're going to win back the House next year in all likelihood. But that's interesting political story of the day, along with the lawsuit to stop Sam Page's mask mandate. And we thank the Attorney General for coming on earlier this hour. We're going to head up north to the People's Republic of Wisconsin. My buddy Dan O'Donnell, who's a talk show host up there, real interesting police video that went viral. That was a complete lie. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Sue Thomas after the top of the hour with Sue's News. I don't know if I'm going to have time for it today, but there's a crazy story in the Boston Globe. I think it's from the group that did the Spotlight group that did the investigation into the Catholic Church. And it's about these people that kind of went after eBay many, many years ago, this couple in Massachusetts, and some executives at eBay struck back and just terrorized them. What? Like, they sent them a fetal pig in the mail. Some of it it's insanity.
That's taking it a little far.
You have no idea. The details of this story are amazing. There's been indictments, many criminal charges. It's one of those stories. I said this to Trish earlier in the producer's room, that I think if we had a different news cycle, it wasn't COVID, it wasn't Andy Cuomo and all that, I think this would be a story that will get attention. It's also a story that probably will be made into a movie when you hear some of the details, but I might have some time before Sue's News. I'm joined right now by fellow talk show host extraordinaire Dan O'Donnell up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I spent 10 years in the People's Republic of Wisconsin with Mr. O'Donnell. He is at WISN Radio in Milwaukee. How are you, Dan?
Not too bad, Mark. How are you doing? Yeah, that eBay story is bizarre, isn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, every once in a while a story comes across and I'm like, this really happened? And I'm going to try to share some of those details. Let me get started with a little congratulations for the Milwaukee Bucks taking home the NBA championship. How about that parade and everything?
Oh, that was so much fun. The entire city has just been on cloud nine. And we sort of, this was our first championship in any sport, not counting the Green Bay Packers, of course, because they're not based in Milwaukee. But the last championship was the last time the Bucks won the title in 1971. 50 years we had to wait for a championship, and it's been quite the party.
Yeah, well, I was only 6 years old back then, and not to rub it in, but I've been in four different parades here, three World Series parades and a Blues championship.
Parades are fun,
but I was hey, I won some milkshakes in a bet on the Bucks with our sports guy here at 97.1 who works at Channel 5 in St. Louis. I have left myself very little time to spend with you, and that was not intentional, but I saw you tweet about this case from Caledonia, which is a suburb of Milwaukee, and I know it got attention up in Wisconsin, but I don't think anybody heard about it here, Dan, and I think this is an interesting case. It was a viral police video that ended up being kind of fake, right?
Yeah, totally fake. It showed a police officer throwing a plastic baggie into the back of a car. And the guy who was filming said, "Hey, what did you throw that in here for?" And the cop said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "I've got you on video, man." And the cop says, "Well, I've got you on video. So what?" And then the video cuts off. Clear implication is the cop was planting evidence, drug evidence.
Yeah, that's the allegation. Well, right.
Yeah, the full context of the video from the officer's body camera was that he had just taken the plastic baggie, which very likely at one point contained drugs, but it was empty. He had just taken it off of someone who was in the car, who was in the process of searching. It took a grand total of about 6 hours for this to be debunked, but it didn't matter. As Mark Twain famously said, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put its pants on. And millions of people saw the 16-second video and thought the Caledonia Police Department was planting evidence when clearly that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that's the problem with these viral videos. Nobody ever hears the correction, or they don't really understand the full scope of what happened. And by the way, Dan, we have a pretty good example of what you just described with Hands Up, Don't Shoot with Mike Brown. You know, complete false narrative that still takes hold. Even in St. Louis today, people believe that that's what happened. But good thing, this is why I do support the dash cams and the body cams, because I think it's incumbent, and that sounds like that's what they did in Caledonia. When you have someone making allegations, questions. Get that body cam stuff out there. Show people exactly what happened. Oop, I think we lost him. You there, Dan? I think we lost him. Dan O'Donnell. Well, we'll see. I think maybe
bad day for phones.
It is a bad day for phones.
I don't know why. Weather's great.
The Attorney General, I'll give him one more try to see if he comes back. Dan, you there?
No.
Oh, no, he's not. All right, that's okay. We lost him. But that was an interesting case. And I actually wanted to spend time on this after four, but I think I'll do it now. Did you see the case? Dave, you pulled this audio, right, of this particular police encounter. Do you remember where this was? I saw this on CBS News. Oh, Kaufman County. This is in Texas, right?
Yeah, just, I think, in Fort Worth.
Okay, so listen to this story here. This is something else that happened with cops that's getting some attention right now.
There's a... There's a lady, or a young lady.
She has thrown herself out in front of the road. Looks like a possible suicide.
The 911 calls started coming in.
What's wrong? How come you're crying?
Deputy Marlin arrives, his body cam rolling.
Okay, just to give you a little background on this, because I saw the story. So there's this girl, young African-American, who is, there are callers, 911 callers, that say she's trying to basically fling herself in front of a car to kill herself.
Goodness.
She's erratic. She's doing all these things. There's 911 calls. At this point, she's on the sidewalk in a residential area. The cop rolls up and tries to talk with her.
Just to talk to you, make sure you're okay.
As they walk, he puts his hand on 18-year-old Nakia Trigg's shoulder, then takes her arm.
Wait, I don't want you to hurt me.
I got to put you in handcuffs, though.
He continues to try and calm her down and reassure her that he doesn't want to hurt her. Trigg gets very emotional.
She starts freaking out.
Marlin's body camera falls off during the struggle and fails to capture the rest of the incident. This is about the time Trigg's family arrives and starts to record what's happening. The sheriff's office says Marlin is using a technique here on Trigg that they teach.
All right, so basically he pins her down and tries to put handcuffs on her because she's erratic. He's trying to do something.
It's 102 degrees out here.
I can't breathe.
She cannot breathe.
She's spitting up.
Trigg is handcuffed and led to the car. The sheriff's office says in the street, her mother, Antonique Ray, eventually struck Marlin and was arrested on assault on a public servant and interference with public duties.
All right, the bottom line here is if you look at this video, look, the cop, I don't know about the technique that they were, claiming that he used right there, but the cop comes up very calmly trying to help this girl who is, if you heard the 911 calls, several people saying, look, she is trying to hurt herself.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they win. I don't know how these cops win. I mean, the allegation is they're not prepared to, be with these kids in these situations that are so volatile. Well, who is in that situation? Even social workers. I don't know how they would handle that. 355 at 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.